Welcome to CounselorAudioSource.net. Counselor Audio Source is a weekly podcast dedicated to the professional enhancement of practicing counselors, supervisors, and counselor educators. Look for us on the web at CounselorAudioSource.net. I'm Marty Gentius from Kent State University, and this week Dr. Delilah Owens of Wayne State University brings us a conversation she had with third-year doctoral student Glinda Rawls, whose specialty area is becoming a cross-cultural school counselor.
Good afternoon. This is Dr. Delilah Owens from Wayne State University interviewing Glinda Rawls. We're going to talk today about cross-cultural school counseling, and this will be a dialogue discussion. Good evening, Glinda.
Good evening.
We want to start off a little bit first talking about your interest in counselor education. How did you become interested in the field, and particularly why are you interested in school counseling as a career?
Well, I have a pretty unique background. I started out my professional career in higher education. I was the director of multicultural affairs at a small liberal arts college, and I was working with college students and working with them on their development and their adjustment to the college environment, specifically working with students of color. And in doing that and in that role, I was very familiar with what kind of adjustment issues students were encountering in the college realm, but I had very little experience about what they were going through in the college environment or in the high school environment, that K-12 experience. And so I wanted to get some experience in that area.
Okay.
Not only did I want to get some experience in that area, but I particularly wanted to explore and find out more information about students of color and their experiences in the K-12 environment. The institution that I worked at had a very small population of students of color, and so I had a lot of questions about wanting to know more about that, wanting to learn more about that. So in addition to wanting to become a counselor educator, I specifically was interested in school counseling.
And what institution? You said the institution you worked at was very small. What institution was that?
It was Hope College in Holland, Michigan.
Okay.
And it had a population of about 3,000 students, so very small institution.
Okay, let's get into the discussion of a cross-cultural school counselor. What would you consider to be the most important role of a cross-cultural school counselor? Or first, let's define cross-cultural school counseling. How would you define that?
Well, you can define it in a number of different ways. I think, when we're talking about cross-cultural, there's so many different ways we can look at that. Cross-cultural could mean a counselor, school counselor, who are interacting with a population that's very different from their own cultural background. That could be race, that could be gender, that could be socioeconomic status, and that's taking a very broad view and look at culture.
Okay.
Or you can take a very narrow view or very narrow focus on culture to specifically mean race.
Okay.
And so when you're talking about cross-culture, the cross-cultural school counselor, you're talking about school counselors who are serving a population of students that are probably different from their cultural background.
Very good. So why do you think, I know I talk a lot with my students about cross-cultural competence in school counseling, and we talk about the relevance and the importance of being cross-culturally competent. Why do you think that is important as a school counselor, to be culturally competent?
Well,
or is it important?
I think it's very important. I think first we have to go back to, again, your question about cross-cultural competence. And when we look at how our field defines multicultural competence, we're talking primarily about knowledge, skills, and attitudes and beliefs related to certain populations.
Okay.
You know, so when we look at the knowledge, you know, what do school counselors know about various different ethnic groups? What training have they had in that area? When we're talking about attitudes, what are their beliefs, their worldviews, their attitudes about this particular group or particular groups? And then in addition to that is, what is their skills? You know, what experience, their clinical skills, what experience do they have? They had either counseling this particular group or serving this particular group in this particular population.
Okay.
Now, why I believe cross-cultural multicultural competence is important in the school setting is because we know that there is an increasingly diverse population of students, primarily students of color. You know,
absolutely.
We are located in Michigan, and so some of our demographics may not be as urgent as the demographics in California or Texas, where over half of the student population could be of a particular minority or ethnic population background,
right, right.
Latino or Asian students. But increasingly we know from statistics and from census data, we know that there is a browning of America. And we know that not only is this a browning of America that occurs in our society, we know that that is also filtering down into our school systems.
Okay.
And because of that, we need to be very aware about what kinds of knowledge and skills and experience that we have in working with this particular group.
Good. We talk a lot about, too, in my class, we talk a lot about the harm in not being culturally competent. I just want to hear from you. I know your training is in diversity. You have a major background in multiculturalism and diversity. Talk a little bit about when an individual goes into a school who is incompetent to work with students of color, what can happen, or some of the things that you've read about in the literature,
mm-hmm.
some of the things that you've seen
mm-hmm.
happen to students of color in schools?
Well, I think that there is a danger on a number of different levels. Certainly there is, you know, all kinds of ethical implications when you are working with a population and haven't had the adequate training, i.e., have you had experience in your practicum? Have you taken a multicultural class, or were multicultural concepts integrated in your training program?
Okay.
So that's very important. Where did you get your knowledge, and are you continuing to pursue that knowledge?
Okay.
So that's where the ethical implications come in, because if you're not trained to work with a particular population or have some kind of basic level, then you might want to consider whether or not you are the most appropriate person to serve that population.
Right.
When we're talking about harm, we're probably talking about what, how you're serving the student and how you might be serving the student differently or underserving the student because you're not fully aware of all the dynamics that go on with this particular cultural group. That's where the harm comes in. If you don't have a knowledge base to pull from or draw from, if you're not consulting with other colleagues that might have a knowledge base about a particular population,
right,
then you may not be serving them in the most effective way.
Exactly.
And that's where the harm could come
right.
in.
You'd mentioned the multicultural training class that's in most programs. There's a study by Dr. Robbie Stewart that talks a lot about, she did a study on multicultural competence in students, and what she found in her study was that most of the Caucasian students who take multicultural classes fake it through. What do you think the responsibility should be to counselor education programs that are graduating students who are culturally incompetent?
I think there's a number of different ways. Certainly I read that study about the faking. But I want to also talk a little bit about the fact that many students dread that course. Many students,
why do you think that is though?
I think they dread that course because many white students primarily fear that they may be labeled as a racist.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like a lot of students, in that course may be for the first time examining their own racist ideas and beliefs,
yes,
or maybe even the beliefs that they've grown up with that they've had to challenge, or now they're in the process of challenging. And in a lot of ways, they're going to have to confront their own feelings in order to be able to work with a particular population. So I do think that students dread this particular course out of all of the courses that they have to take. You know, this is the one course that I've even heard my colleagues and other colleagues that are TAing for professors for this particular course, just how challenging students feel by this course, or how much they dread that particular course.
Okay, this being the case, I want to touch a little bit on this. You said students dread the course. Do you think institutions should make multicultural competence, multiculturalism courses a requirement? I know in Michigan, some institutions it's required, others it's not. Do you think that this should be a required course?
I think that it should be a required course. I think how institutions get around not having it be a required course is because the K-PREP standards indicate that it should just be a content area, and it could be integrated in a number of different other courses. I would say that not only, I mean, it's a problematic issue when it comes to training, because not only is it an issue with regard to should we have a standalone course in itself, but should we not also integrate it into a number of different classes?
Right.
You can't talk about multicultural issues and not talk about ethics.
Right.
You can't talk about counseling techniques and not also talk about multicultural issues.
Right.
So, you know, in the one hand, I think that, yes, there definitely should be a course on multicultural counseling. But even further than that, I think that it should also be in an integrative approach. And Dr.
Right.
Holcomb McCoy has written several articles about integrating multicultural issues into the course curriculum.
Right.
But I also want to go back to something that you talked about in terms of responsibility. What should training programs do, and how can they hold their students accountable? And one of the things that I've thought about and talked about is advisor relationships. And if an advisor can identify a student having some definite issues with this area, having that advisor be intentional about what kinds of internship spaces and places should this advisee go through.
Right.
What kinds of clients should this student be working with when it comes to practicum? Dr. Bradley, and I want to say...
Dr.
Carla Bradley,
Carla Bradley,
and I want to say Fundini,
okay.
Maybe not pronouncing his last name right,
okay.
But did a study about whether or not students were getting multicultural experiences in practicum.
Mm-hmm.
And it may have also been... Dr. Joanne Sanford also along with her in that process. I'm not sure exactly.
The interesting thing about that is that a lot of students get to choose where they want to do practicum. So if you're comfortable working in a white suburban area, most students will choose a school in a white suburban area. They're afraid to step out of those comfort zones. And I want to know, what responsibility does the institution have in pushing students beyond their comfort zone?
I think they have a strong responsibility. And that responsibility is that if we're going to be training counselors to work with an increasingly diverse population, again, the census statistics indicate that our society is becoming much more multicultural, much more diverse. So we have in the counseling profession, we have all kinds of ethical standards that say that we should be continuing to educate ourselves. But not only that, but we should be having diverse content in our training programs. KCRF standards indicate that. ACA, in terms of their ethical guidelines, indicate that. So I definitely think that training programs have a responsibility. I think what the issue has is that the choice that we give the students with regard to where they can be placed in their practicum. And according to research, overwhelmingly, a lot of students are not getting experience when they actually see clients in practicum.
Right.
You know, so it's one thing to take a course in multicultural counseling and get some knowledge.
Right.
But then again, the question then becomes, are we fully building competency when we drop the ball with regard to practicum and internship?
That's a very good point. Okay, on that note, I want to talk a little bit about students who feel like they're not culturally competent. Some of my students will say, you know, with diversity, there's just so much out there. Like, where do you start? Is it even possible to be culturally competent? So for the students who just lack cultural awareness, where can they start? Do you have any resources for them?
Well, I think one book that has been very helpful for me in my own training program at the doctoral level has been Dr. Cortland Lee's book, Counseling for Diversity, A Guide for School Counselors and Related Professionals. In this book, Dr. Lee kind of provides information about nuances of each cultural group, African-American, Latino, Asian students, and how to effectively work with them. There's a number of different books out there that, a counselor in training can go to at the ACA conference if they decide to go to some of the exhibit halls.
Mm-hmm.
In addition to that, I think that ongoing training and development, this idea that the course, a multicultural training course, is it for your training, I think is something that we need to examine, particularly when we look at continuing education.
Right.
You know, the education of a counselor does not end once they receive their academic degrees. It's an ongoing process.
Right.
And so if we're talking about competency, we're talking about ongoing learning, ongoing knowledge building, ongoing information that you're gathering to work with diverse groups. So it doesn't just end with a class. Actually, it just begins. Not only are you trying to reinforce the information that you have about working with different groups through the course, but then through practicum, supervised internship experiences, and then ongoing information building and gathering that you're doing through continuing education.
Very good. Thank you. This concludes our interview.
You've just heard an interview with Glenda Rawls, doctoral student at Western Michigan University, regarding becoming a cross-cultural school counselor.
Look for previous podcasts, show notes, and listener feedback on the podcast website at counselaraudiosource.net. Listeners can leave comments or questions for our interview guests or hosts through our Skype.com internet telephone ID, Counselor Audio Source, or by calling 330-871-4015. Counseling techniques and interventions discussed in the Counselor Audio Source broadcast are meant for use by counseling professionals, and Counselor Audio Source is not held liable for any use of the techniques mentioned in the program. Our music bed today is Memorial Day from Jamie Beauchamp. His and other PodSafe music can be found in the PodSafe Music Network at podshow.com. Counselor Audio Source is licensed under the Creative Commons, a nonprofit organization offering a flexible copyright for creative work.